Well, hello, boys and girls, everybody out there, no matter where you happen to be, if you're thinking water and fresh water, sweet water, we have Captain Morris Campbell on the line with us, and we're going to be getting into our freshwater fishing report of the week. And are you there, Morris, somewhere in telephone land?
Yeah, I'm out here. How you doing?
I'm doing okay. So you've been over on the East Coast doing fishing and all kinds of other stuff over there on the East Coast. What's been going on around the state?
Well, ran two trips this week, pecan bass. Did one plug trip where we fished a lot of artificials and did real well on that. We caught dozen peacocks and four or five largemouth. And then did one trip where they wanted to use live shiners. We did over 30 peacocks these six times. Kind of lost count there, but caught quite a few and caught some up in the 5.5 pound range.
Well, what were the lures that the peacock were interested in?
It was different. Ziggy caught the largest peacock on lure the first trip. Probably around a 4.5 pounder, but you know, we caught 6 or 8 on the Ziggy and the rest on Missouri Crystal Minnow.
Well, you were throwing the 3D fingerling while back for them. Is that still the one, or did it switch to the Crystal Minnow?
Well, we caught some on 3D fingerling as well. The smaller Crystal Minnow. One of the guys brought one with him, wanted to try it, so he caught several on that.
Now, is it?
Always deadly.
Which one is it?
The Crystal Minnow and the 3D Fingerling. I prefer the, if I'm going to use the, one of those Yuzuris, I use the Crystal, the 3D Fingerling, and I really like the Crystal Minnow. If you got a little darker water, you know, where that translucent, that needs to show, it needs to flash.
Yeah, we're going to be, I think, next year working a little better with that company. Now, is it darker colors or lighter colors that the peacocks seem to be keying in on?
The Zip and Ziggy was the black back, gold side, orange belly, which is pretty standard bait for them as far as you know, my trips go. The Crystal Minnow was basically the same one you would use for snook, you know, with the green flash sides and white belly.
So, but basically with the green sides and all that, I mean, we are talking a little darker color still.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I did use some of that new Rapala stop, that jerkbait that we experimented with when you and I had a chance
so,
with Dad.
Well, how did it work?
We caught a few on that as well, and caught a few nice largemouths, and I managed to keep the tail on it, too, without them tearing it off.
That was a trick, but I think I overused it a little bit. I mean, I was just steady throwing it. I mean, it was bound to tear it up. I mean, that was a lot of fish I caught on it. But
yeah, they strike pretty hard.
Well, so how did that rip stop work on the largemouth?
Yeah, it worked fine on them. They actually, when they hook up on that, they don't get off of it. They stay on it pretty good, actually.
Yeah, I was really impressed with the ripstop for the largemouth, because I didn't catch anything of size, but it was a lot of activity on that. You know, I don't think I went four casts without a fish, you know, while I held it together.
Yeah, there you go. We fished all the way down south, both trips in the far end of that waterway that you and I fished, the Lake Ida system. We actually fished in Lake Ida both trips, and did not fish in Lake Osborne and north side.
Well, that's cool. So they're moving around a little bit more than they were. I think the water temps are up a little bit where they don't have to hug as close to the structure as they were.
They're spawning, too. The peacocks are really in full spawn mode right now. They love the hot water. So, yeah, they were, I could have stayed in the spawning area and caught, I don't know how many we could have caught. But, yeah. I'd like to let them do their thing and just target the ones that aren't quite bedding yet.
Yeah, it's always better not to, you know, mess with a fish while it's trying to make more of that fish for us to play with. So, going into the largemouth, what was the bite like for, Florida bass?
Well, largemouth probably caught 8 or 10 largemouth in addition to all the peacocks on those trips, but we had some four and a half, 5 pound fish. Had more in the heat of pound and a half peacock, actually, and it was probably an 8 to 10 pound class fish, and it came up beside the boat and swallowed one of our hooked peacock bass like a Goliath grouper would. And it just come up and just sucked the whole thing in and took momentarily and then came off the hook. Quite an impressive show right at the boat.
That'll get your blood started. It's kind of like reeling in a ladyfish and having a tarpon eat it while you're reeling it in.
Exactly.
Now, have you heard about any of the largemouth around the state going on?
Yes, big marsh is doing really good right now. There's not a lot of anglers because of the hotter weather, but the big marsh is on fire. Averaging between 30 and 50 on light bait trips there, and 10 to 25 on the artificial trips. Lake Okeechobee's doing pretty good. Saw a couple of good catches come out of Lake Okeechobee there. Not the size bass that you get up in the thick marsh, but pretty good. Local canals with this rainfall. Should be top notch with all that excess water in there.
Well, you weren't here last night, but it rained all night. I mean, it started raining yesterday afternoon and drizzled / rain pretty much, until this morning. This morning it was just a little drizzle left.
Yeah, if you could target any of those areas where you got
We're getting some pretty good reports off the 9 Mile Hillsboro area up there. A little bit more off of Northport, up off Price. We're starting to see a little bit of that. I'm kind of interested in that one park up there. They got that big dam on that park in Northport, and that ought to be just fired up like crazy right now. I don't remember the name of it, and I have to look it up here.
Yeah, that's and something else to remember too is around where those areas are spilling out. If you want to target a little something different there, use like a little beetle spin or roadrunner or something like that, or you can even use fly bait around those, and you can catch some stellar panfish, because they're up there feeding too. You might even be able to catch enough crappie to make a meal or two out of.
Oh, it's McGuire. Oh, no. McGuire's in Northport. I was looking on fishandfranks.com, trying to find what I did. This is at Blue Ridge Park up in Northport. Yeah, that's the one with the dam on it there in Blue Ridge Park. Fishandfranks.com, click the maps of where to go fishing button, go down to the freshwater section, and you'll find it on there. Really interested to get some reports from that Blue Ridge, because it's a nice lake, and at the head of it is a dam there, coming off the canals. It should be flowing really good.
There you go. I wouldn't hesitate to go up to Fish Shell Creek, fish the reservoir up there.
How do you think it's going to be on top of the reservoir now up there?
It should be plenty of water up there to work with, and, all that rain should have cooled the water a few degrees. So I think you could have a good topwater bite, you know, maybe some of those reaction swim bait, things like that.
All right. I'm looking at, right now we got 759 cubic feet a second going across the dam. The average is 819. So it's flowing pretty good right now. So
yeah,
that's, Shell Creek is at almost 6 foot, which is pretty high for Shell Creek.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's, it's not at flood stage, but it's pretty darn high. So,
and something else that you can do there that I've had some success there, especially in the warmer months, and a lot of people don't do it, but you can work a crankbait or a rattle trap. I prefer more of a 6 to 8 foot diving crankbait, and you can work that area around the dam where that current's coming through. There's a little channel, and there's even some channel markers there. And those bats will stack up in there and eat bait fish that are being swept down toward that dam. That's a good technique to use in there. It's a real different technique than you're used to, you know, in a grassy area like that. But not a lot of grass out there, and it's more of a harder bottom. You can fish a crankbait there.
All right. Have you heard anything from Mr. Poga?
Mr. Poga's fishing fairly good right now. They're catching fish on spinnerbaits and rattle traps along the grass edges. And the bite is fairly good from about daylight up to about 10:30. And then usually better to come in and have some cold to drink and wait till the afternoon and let the thunderstorms are running you off the lake. Something else that's working real good there is the larger 8 to 10 inch plastic worms, the June bug and black blue tail, fished weightless over the grass, swimming through there early in the day.
Now, did you, by any chance, have you heard anything up off the Kissimmee chain?
The Kissimmee chain, Lake Toho. I was up in Kissimmee the other day, and Lake Toho, not West Lake Toho, not East Lake Toho, they're catching a lot of 2-3 pound fish out on the mussel beds, and again, they're using rattle traps and swim baits out there. Some of the guys are catching a few larger bass on shiners, but overall, most of the bass are coming on rattle traps, swim baits, things like that.
Gotcha. Now, here's an off-the-wall one for you. Have you heard anything coming out of the Everglades?
No, I haven't. Traditionally, the Glades fish better in dry season, not in a rainy season. But just when you get a ton of water flowing into the Glades like that, the fish tend to leave the canal system, go out and scatter into the actual Everglades, and make it a lot harder to catch. So I haven't heard any reports from actual Everglades. Some of the canals going into the Palm Beach area out of the Glades are producing some nice peacock bass. Guys
Morse
that I
Campbell.
Talked to that were
shore
fishing.
Now, I've had more requests about catching Mayan cichlids here lately. What's really kind of been on people's mind is they're looking for a dinner fish, and the Mayans here locally in the canals, freshwater and saltwater, are becoming more of a game fish. We're just getting the fishable numbers. We've had them for the last several years, but most of them were smaller. They weren't in enough numbers to actually target. But I think the number one bait we've had here is wigglers. Small worms have been the best bait for them. Any suggestions for the people on the Mayan cichlids?
That Kelly's plow jockey that you got there, that little straight worm with the three hooks in it, mono leader on the end, it's a Mayan cichlid killer. They really do like worms. They bite minnows and things like that as well, but they really like worms. So in the salt water, which is they're normally a freshwater fish, but they seem to be doing quite well in our saltwater canals. So I'm sure they would bite a grass shrimp, too, or a small shrimp.
Well, what's your opinion on the whole cichlid thing? Is that something you see becoming a bigger thing, or is this, you think they're going to get knocked back on it? But we had a drought last fall, and it didn't seem to knock them back. They still seem to be, you know, pretty abundant. So you think this is a good thing or a bad thing, or good witch, bad witch, or a sandwich?
Well, I think it's good, and I think, let's make a sandwich when we catch it. The state of Florida really wants you to harvest the things, keep them, so they're really good to eat. And, down here on southeast Florida, they've become a pretty staple food fish, bait fish.
And there's no law against using them for bait, live or dead. You can use them for bait. There's no rules about it. We did a show at FWC. We're going to be calling FWC later in the day and going over some more of the freshwater rules and saltwater rules. But, you can readily use them for bait or harvest them for food. It's no problem. The only thing you're not allowed to do is transport them from one freshwater body to another. So you cannot catch them as bait, say, on Shell Creek, and then go use them at... Cecil Webb. If you get caught transporting them, you do get tickets, you do get fines. But if you catch them where you, if you use them where you catch them, it's legal.
Yes, that's correct.
We got Robert here. Robert, any questions for Morris? We're going over the freshwater stuff.
I kind of walked in through the middle of it, so I don't know what else you asked him.
Well, ask him a question, see if it's a new one.
What about the tilapia? How would you target them? Because I get that question a lot, too, this time of year.
Well, the wiggers are excellent bait for the tilapia. A technique that I like is, I like to take that wiggler and just put it on a hook, and where you see the tilapia on the bed, put that thing with no weight at all on the bed and let it just settle down there where that tilapia is on the bed, and they will violently attack it. So that's a really good way to get it caught. Quite a few like that, and they also like small spinnerbaits, field spins, and up to about a 8 ounce, 1/4 ounce spinnerbait.
Now, what I've done is I take those Eagle Claw snelled hooks, the little ones, the number sixes, and I take a piece of bread and I put a little bit of wet cat food with it, and I make dough balls out of it, mold them around the hook, and let them dry, so they'll stay on the hook. And then I just use a little snap swivel and a bobber and kind of toss them out for that. But I'll actually chum the water with some bread first. And that seemed to have been very effective. It's a kind of a technique I learned in Europe, making my own dough balls and letting them harden on the hook. That's the way we fish for carp over in Europe.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, that can be effective. I found that a lot of these tilapia is people think that they're just... herbivores, and they're not. They're pretty much omnivore. They don't mind eating a minnow or a worm or anything. They'll also take this stuff off the bottom, like a carp or something like that.
Now, we've been talking about different lakes and stuff. How about catfish? Any catfishing going on around the state yet?
I would, if I were going to go catfishing there, I would see it. How about Red Lake? They're catfishing in the lake there. It's a good place to take some, wigglers, put out chicken livers, pet mullet, light mullet, or pet bluegill.
All right, now where's Lettuce Lake?
No, I'm talking about Web Lake.
Web Lake, okay. Yeah, I'm sorry, my ears are bad. Web Lake. Okay, now you're allowed to keep the catfish you get in Webb Lake, because I know you're not allowed to keep the bass.
Yeah, the bass, it's catch and release on bass only, and the rest of them you're allowed to keep. There are limits, and I don't think they follow the state limits. They have separate limits, but there's a really good website you can go on and see the limits. The FWC website has all the limits for Webb Lake on it.
Yeah,
Also, right there at the gate entry, they have a little brochure with a lot of their regulations of all their fish species when you go in there. Designates certain lakes.
That's a place that's really close by for a lot of your local listeners. And you know, it's an easy access, but you don't even need a boat to go in.
But there are three boat ramps on the big lake.
There are three boat ramps on the big lake, and you know, you can launch any size boat there as long as you don't use the gasoline motor, you're good to go.
We've launched my 24-foot flats boat there before, you know, but you have to use the trolling motor. So, all right, bluegills, shellcrackers, panfish of any kind, anything around the state going on?
Just about all of the lakes over in the central part of the state, the mayflies are still doing their hatching thing. Rain may put a damper on that, but after it dries, they should be right back at it. And those bluegills are right there in the buggy whips and the cattail leading those. You can also catch them in the local lake right now. I would target those areas where you're having to burn off. You know, you're having the water running into a body of water from, you know, rain and stuff like that, because they'll stack up in those types of areas, you know, where the bass are as well.
That brings me in line Lake Betty, because Lake Betty, if you have, there's a fishing pier there, but if you go to the right where that canal dumps in, you got a nice flow of water coming right into the lake there. It's been a great place for me. I've caught bass, and I've also caught a lot of panfish there, but I would say right where that comes together, you fish there, right around that corner in Lake Betty, that would be a good bet for as far as what you're saying.
Oh, absolutely. Yeah, Lake Betty's another place really underutilized. Really good bass fishing. It's a really good area to throw a crankbait in, because there's that canal system in general that Lake Betty is in is loaded with not only wild shiners, but it's also loaded with shad. When they get after their shad, you can really torch the largemouth bass with their nice crankbait rattle trap for a shallow diving crankbait.
Yeah, Captain Carl just joined us. Any questions for Morris Campbell? We're doing a freshwater report here, Carl.
How's it been?
Oh, wait a minute. Sorry. There you go. Go ahead, Carl.
How's it been? Fishing been good?
Yeah, pretty good. Can't complain. Been doing pecan bass, things like that. Largemouth.
Lucky you. I haven't caught one of them yet.
You're going to have to get together with Morris before that big boat gets fixed while he's still over there.
Yeah, once that boat gets fixed, nobody will see him.
So, how long before the big boat's done?
We're about 2 weeks out on it right now.
Oh, you got 2 weeks to get over there, Carl. 2 weeks to get in on it.
Tick tock.
So, well, Morris, anything that, just kind of a general advice you've got for people around the state or people coming down to visit in a little while? If you were going to, why don't you tell everybody your phone number, and if they want to get a hold of you, because for the next couple of weeks you're going to be there on the East Coast, and really it's a very, you've just been knocking the peacocks out, so it's a great time. If somebody wants to get in and get a charter in, this is the time to do it.
Yeah, that's true. Right now, the crowds are non-existent, and the fish are at their peak, pretty much. So if you want to do a peacock or a clown nine fish.
Did you catch any of those? You were fishing shiners there. How'd you do on the clown night?
We specifically targeted the peacocks, and didn't have any bycatch or clown nine, but I didn't target them. I've kind of stumbled on a way to pretty much specifically target the clown knife fish. So.
Well, when you get back over there, call me up, and maybe I'll grab Terry and Carl and come down. You think all three of us could fit on there if I sit quiet?
Yeah, we can make it work.
All right, I'll grab Carl and Terry. We'll try and get over there and visit you for a day and fish for some clown knife and some peacock. Let them guys have fun on peacock.
Oh yeah, that's pretty good right now. They'll enjoy it.
Yeah, we'll definitely next week try and get over there and visit you and get some of that. Now, you're coming back in the area. Looking forward to anything?
Oh, I'm looking forward to having a couple of days of cold here. So. Gotta go right back to the morning. That's about it.
Okay. Well, I guess we can wrap up our freshwater report for the week. I thank you so much, Morris. We look forward to doing these each week with you. And any last questions, guys, for Morris?
His contact information?
Well, yeah, you can reach me at area code 941-276-4478.
Perfect. Okay. Appreciate it, Morris.
Any last Thanks. Questions, Carl? Oh, Carl's off and running somewhere. All right. Well, I guess that'll bring about another freshwater report with Captain Morris Campbell. And you can call Captain Morris Campbell, and he'll take you out doing the peacock bass thing right now. But I would definitely ask him, while you're catching the peacocks, to get on some of those clown nightfish. That's something that, if it's not on your bucket list, it should be on your bucket list. So, anyway, we will catch you on the next Radio Fishing with Captain Morris Campbell, Freshwater Report. Look for the logo. It's that'll tell you which one tells you about freshwater fishing in the state of Florida. And we'll catch you on the next Radio Fishing. Bye-bye.